Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. A groundbreaking activity unfolded Tuesday night on Disney Plus and three related services. Learn what this was all about and why so groundbreaking next. Also ahead, Terry Russell's TV series return, Showtime going gaga for Gattaca, our classic trivia question, and final reflections on ABC's 2023 Academy Awards presentation. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and presented on Audacity, Plus, Spotify, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and other leading podcast destinations. This just in, it's March Madness, at least for the men's side, women's tomorrow, and tomorrow will be televised. Thank you for joining us on this first day of the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. Yes, March Madness is happening, and already a big result. Tell you about that in a moment. 53 degrees at the top of the hour in New York, and we welcome you on this Thursday afternoon for a special edition of the program all about TV's current and future. And already we have one big upset in the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament in the first round. Furman, Southern Conference champion, for the first time in the NCAA tournament in 43 years, 13th. Seated. They beat Virginia on a three-pointer with about 2.2 seconds to go, 68-67. And in the other game that is completed, Maryland, I know my sisters will be very happy about this, down in Clarksville, Maryland has beaten West Virginia 67-65. And that was another nail-biter, by the way. So for the first time maybe ever, West Virginia and Virginia both gone in the first round. At halftime, Missouri is leading Utah State 35-31. And Howard University was nip and tuck for most of the first half with the number one seed, Kansas. And right now, Kansas at the half is leading by 13 points, 50-37 over Howard University, one of the historically black college universities in this year's NCAA tournament. First time they've been in the tournament in a long while. And if anybody has updates on the scores, put them in the chat room, and we will pass them along to you. Remember, you can catch first round games of the NCAA men's basketball tournament today and tonight on CBS, True TV, TNT, and TBS. And you also catch them on radio on Westwood One. The Westwood One feed, by the way, nationally featuring wraparounds by Jason Horowitz and Doug Gottlieb from Los Angeles. They'll give you major coverage of four games. One of them was the Maryland-West Virginia game. And they'll also give you wraparounds to other action going on at the same time. So whatever the action is, you'll find it on the NCAA Westwood One Radio Network, available on radio stations across the country, including WFAN here in New York. You can also catch Westwood One's national coverage on SiriusXM Satellite Radio, on the Varsity Sports Network, and on our simulcast partner TuneIn Radio's premium channel. And if you want to get full coverage of all the games or a particular region today and tomorrow in the first round, you can go to WestwoodOneSports.com. That's WestwoodOneSports.com. You can get the national feed. Also, you can get individual game and regional coverage from start to finish. Again, that's at WestwoodOneSports.com. And remember that the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament, their March Madness begins tomorrow. Their games will be carried on ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, ESPN News, and ESPN Plus, and in some situations, also in Spanish, on ESPN Deportes. Today, there's no guests. It's you and me, but we have a lot to talk about, including a very unique sports event that was animated on Tuesday night, and it may be a groundbreaker for television, for animation, and for sports. We have our classic trivia question as well, and as I mentioned, we'll have our 2023 final reflections on the Academy Awards. First of all, we want to let you know that if you want to comment on any of that, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Number is good anywhere you're catching across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. And also, what would you have to say if you like in the chat room? It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And again, if you'd like to pass along update scores on the NCAA tournament action, as the two other games that started earlier today, Missouri-Utah State, Kansas and Howard, or the games that will be starting over the next hour or so, the next four games of the different regions that will be starting in the next hour or so, put in the room, and we'll pass the scores along to all of our listeners. And, of course, you can connect others interactively by using Facebook Timeline. Remember, you can click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio speaker, TuneIn screen, follow the instructions, and it'll be live to you. And, again, I know that my sister Stephanie and her daughter Melissa and her family, including their new baby, are very excited about Maryland being one of the first winners. Again, they beat West Virginia 67-65. And while Virginia, number four seed, lost to Furman, 13th seed, again, Southern Conference winner, first time in 43 years they have gone to an NCAA tournament. They just won 68-67 on the three-point play with 2.2 seconds to go. Kevin Harlan called the game and, of course, did his incredible best. We will get to our Big City Greens hockey animated breakthrough after these news notes. Kerry Russell is more than a month away from the quest to score a TV series trifecta. The star of Felicity on the WB and co-star of The Americans for FX, both long-running hits, in the case of The Americans, the Peabody Award winner, will go forward as The Diplomat, coming on Netflix April 20th. Russell will play Kate Weiler, new U.S. ambassador to Great Britain, out to quash a road to war breaking loose in two global hotspots. Besides the title role, Russell will co-executive produce the series with British showrunner Deborah Kahn, formerly involved with Homeland and The West Wing. And speaking of Homeland, two key players behind the success of that award-winning Showtime saga may get back in that network's fold for another series. Reports from various entertainment news organs suggest Howard Gordon and Alex Ganza are talking to Showtime about a follow-up edition of Gattaca, the controversial 1977 movie depicting a world where genetic policy rules. Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman co-starred in the picture. Gordon and Ganza have a program development relationship with Sony Pictures Television and launched anthology series Accused on Fox 2 months ago. If Gattaca gets the green light at Showtime, multiple series, not just one, based on the concept, may be undertaken. And now, quickies. Peacock will co-produce a scripted Holocaust-themed miniseries for presentation next year. The Tattooist of Auschwitz, adapted from the best-selling novel by Heather Morris, will star Jonah Hara King and Anna Prushniak. Daytime relationship talk hour Karamo will be back for season two this fall. NBC Universal is the syndicator. Lock in May 4th for return of HBO Max comedy The Other Two. Look for season three to run 10 episodes. If you want to continue using YouTube television, prepare to pay more for your monthly subscription starting April 18th. On that day, the fee goes from $49.99 to $64.99 a month, the first fee hike in 3 years. And Univision starts Mi Famoso e Yo, that's My Celebrity and I, this Sunday night. Six children ages 5 or 6 will team up with notables in a set of challenge rounds, singing, dancing, acting, and the like. And that is news notes for today. Again, if you'd like to phone in or chat with your thoughts about the subjects we'll be talking about in television today, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. This is the second of three episodes we're doing on Tomorrow Be Televised this week. And coming your way tomorrow, we are really looking forward to this one. It's a big exclusive. We will have Josh Otten. He is the chief executive officer of Ronin Media Network, and he's the person who's working directly with former NBA superstar Kevin Garnett on his new TV network project, Veeam TV, which hopefully will start between April and June of this year. This is the project that was talked about in Deadline Hollywood Daily nearly 2 weeks ago, and nobody else has followed except yours truly and this program. And Josh will give us all the details about what is going on with Veeam TV, as well as with another network that Ronan already has on the air, Altrid, that's ARTRD.TV, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. That's Josh Otten from Ronan Media Networks, Veeam TV, and Altrid.TV. That's coming your way tomorrow. Internet radio exclusive interview, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And now, let's get into our main topic. And to do so, I'd like to give you a little context. 5 years ago, at a New Front event here in New York from Verizon Media, held at Battery Park City in a room that could hold at least over 1,000 people, at one point during that event, the people at Verizon Media had a live feed from a 5G studio in Los Angeles. And what was going on in that studio was live animation being produced on the fly using actors who were dressed up in motion capture suits. You know, motion capture is a way that you can animate a person and put them in a unique background. That, of course, was the big thing behind the Polar Express, the Robert Zemeckis movie with Tom Hanks that really launched this whole idea of motion capture animation. I had never seen before anybody do it live on the spot, and certainly live to an audience of at least 1,000 people. Well, Tuesday night on Disney Plus, Disney Channel, Disney XD, and ESPN Plus, something happened that was incredibly groundbreaking. It was live animation of a hockey game, a National Hockey League game between the New York Rangers and the Washington Capitals. It was billed as the first annual Big City Greens Hockey Special, and it was named after the popular Disney Channel series. The idea was that the game would be played on a rink inside Big City Greens, and it would have the hockey players, the puck, and the goalkeepers all animated in live fashion based on information coming into the animators doing it through the National Hockey League game as it was being played live on ESPN. It was absolutely amazing to watch. I mean, think about this. We're talking about a live sports event that's being animated on the fly in real time. You can see the puck. You can see the players going back and forth. The players were identified, the actual players from the Rangers and the Capitals. And it turned out to be a pretty good game. Initially, the game was 4-1 in favor of the Rangers. Then the Capitals came back, went to 4-3. Finally, the final score was 5-3. It was a good game. And in addition to the rink being animated, so was the outside of the rink. At times, you could see shots of the city and its inhabitants. You could see the spectators looking at the game and reacting to it. You also, when two players collide on the rink, you had a boom on the fly. And you had instant replay. And you even had phone calls from characters in Big City Greens, played by the actors, the voiceover talent for those characters. It was truly remarkable. Truly, truly remarkable. I mean, think about it. Again, live animation of a sports event happening at that very moment. And to get the widest possible audience, it was carried on Disney Plus, on Disney Channel, because they, of course, carry Big City Greens, as well as Disney XD on cable and ESPN Plus through smart TV sets and devices. We don't know yet how many people watched the game. And it wasn't broken, and whatever the stats is, I hope it, when we get the stats, I hope it's broken, the viewership was broken down by network. I'm very curious to see how many people caught on Disney Channel versus XD versus Disney Plus versus ESPN Plus. And what also made this amazing is that the animators, the people behind Big City Greens, were very much involved in the making of this special, which was being sort of looked at as an annual event. Now, think about the possibilities that could happen out of this. If you can do live animation on a regular basis, think how it would really transform the animation process. The majority of animated shows take 8 months or more to do for a single episode. That's because of the painstaking work of animation, even if it's computer animation composed to cell animation, 2D, or it's called 2D now. Because you have to, not in addition, it's more than just, you know, having the voices and the music score and so forth and the scripts ready. You have to do backgrounds, inking, painting, and so forth. It's painstaking. And in large part, you also deal with the fact that most animation, not all, many animated shows have the cast and the production team and the story writers and so forth in New York or Los Angeles or other cities around the United States, but the animation is farmed to Ireland or Japan or Korea. And so if you want to make changes, and you want to make changes close to air date, it's very, very tough to do because they have to change the animation, change storyline, change voice cast, and so on and so forth. South Park is one of the very few situations where the animation is not only computer animated, but you can do animation close to the air date on Comedy Central. And if you can do animation live, not just for a sports event, but for any circumstance, whether it's a special or a series, and you can do it with the kind of quality that we saw Tuesday night on Disney Plus and the other Disney-related networks, think about how this could really transform the animation ballgame, that you could do really quality animation work live as a series or any kind of program, a comedy, a drama, a sports event, an entertainment event. And you can also target the animation, as this program did, for different audiences, whether it is kids in general or kids who are African-American, or Latino, or Asian American, Native American, and so forth. I mean, just think of the possibilities. It is amazing. Kudos to ESPN and Disney for making this happen. I'm very curious to hear what the viewership stats were. If this works, I have no doubt that somebody is going to try this again. Certainly, Disney will. How they will do it, I don't know. And what if, for example, if the business was Big City Greens, you could do a Big City Greens episode live. That's right, live. Again, it would be a transforming ballgame to do a program live, an animated program live. What an, as a series, what an incredible achievement that would be. I am surprised that this special did not get the advance attention that, for example, the Nickelodeon programs, which is a mix really of live action of animation, which actually was produced in advance, and the live action on the field. The NFL games this year, last year was the NFL playoff, regular season game, and the last year is the playoff games, usually wild card on Nickelodeon, how it would go. Keep your eye on this development, folks. This is a biggie. It depends on how fast people do. And by the way, wouldn't it be interesting if Netflix or Disney Plus or any other mega content services really came into action on this? And think about the possibility of doing a video game live on your television set. That's right, live. Live animation for a video game on the TV set. Wouldn't that be interesting to play a video game for the first time on your television set without using a console, using, as we talked with Zoe Soon from Interactive Ad Bureau on Monday's program, with a joystick or controller that you aim at the TV set. You don't need a PlayStation. Don't need it, another console from Xbox or whoever to play the game. And if, let's say, you could play the game live with the animation coming to you live, not preset, but live as it happens. And what if it was personalized to you? That's right, personalized to you as well as other people you may be playing against. Wouldn't that be fun? And wouldn't that be more attractive? The possibilities are amazing. So way to go, Disney Plus and Disney Channel and Disney XD and ESPN Plus, and way to go, ESPN, for making it happen. It's going to be fun to see whether this live-action situation, this live animation, live tuning, if you will, is a one-shot or it becomes a real phenomenon that impacts television all over the place. Stay tuned. All right, time now for our classic trivia question of the week, and we've been offering it for the last week and a half. We're going to do it one more shot tomorrow. So here's the question again, and if you're first with the correct answer and you email it, first to do so, you win the great bestseller, Seven Ways to Become a Famous Doctor by Roland Perez. He is the host of the popular PBS series America's Health Journal, also a 24/7 service available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Name the 1985 ABC series starring Jamie Rose as an unorthodox detective. Name the 1985 ABC series starring Jamie Rose as an unorthodox detective. You know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you win. Again, the question, name the 1985 ABC series starring Jamie Rose as an unorthodox detective. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you win. If we don't get a winner by the end today, of course, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so. And all the very best. Simon Applebaum with you along for the ride. No guest today, but we will have a guest tomorrow. Big one for you as we deal with Veeam TV and the chief executive officer of the parent company of that project, working on with former NBA superstar Kevin Garnett, Roland Media Network's chief executive Josh Hott. He will be with us live and exclusive, and I believe this is his first interview since that Deadline Hollywood Daily story came out nearly 2 weeks ago. So be with us, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Also, coming your way Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we will have the chief executive officer of a service where you actually get rewarded for what you watch and how often you watch. It's called Rewarded TV. It is now running on some smart TV sets and devices. The chief executive officer is Krish Arpali, and they offer both individual series and specials and movies. Also, they have a bundle of services, and we'll talk about that. And they just add a service called Coinbase Television. We'll get to that as well. It's a really amazing story. And, you know, on Monday, again, when we had Zoe Soon from the Interactive Ad Bureau Experience Center talking about the opportunity to have rewards presented on in-game on advertising where you can buy merchandise or use NFTs, if you will, to do digital stuff, digital transactions as you're playing video games or in a break between video games. Well, Rewarded TV already now gives the opportunity to do that right now. And we will talk to the Chief Executive Officer, Krish Arpali. He's with us Monday in a radio exclusive interview, the first of either two or three episodes we're doing next week, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And we hope to have another guest also for that episode regarding another new network that recently launched. So be with us Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Be Televised. Before we go into our final reflections of the 2023 Academy Award telecast on ABC Sunday night. The telecast, as it turned out, did better than the last two, went from 16 million people watching a year ago to 18.7 million, and I'll reflect about why. I did want to raise two other situations that I didn't get to when we did our initial Oscar host commentary on Monday. The first deals with how the award for Best Original Music Score was presented. I mentioned on Monday about the Inventive Creative Way Best Cinematography Award was introduced. It was creative. It was fun. It was educational without being boring. It was really, really great. Well, that's what didn't happen with the Best Original Music Score. They had the orchestra, the live orchestra, and the theater in the background. And instead of really, like the Cinematography Award, look at the past masters of music scores, like Elmer Bernstein, Eric Wolfgang Korngold, Jerry Goldsmith, so many other great composers, Bernard Herrmann, and of course John Williams, probably the greatest of them all, for his 50-year partnership with Steven Spielberg. Rather than really do that, they engaged in noxious jokes, including one about a cell phone. I thought it was really disrespectful of that, of the whole composers. I wouldn't be surprised if the composer was very upset, both the nominees, including the ultimate winner who won for the score for All Quiet on the Western Front, were very upset with how that score, that award was presented. I was too. It was really disrespectful. There was so much they could have done with that introduction, where it could have been really fun to hear some of the great music scores of the past, even just clips of them, and to respect, as I said, people like Elmer Bernstein or Bernard Herrmann or Eric Wolfgang Korngold or Max Steiner and John Williams and Mark Snow, and even contemporaries like Carter Burwell and Mark Snow and others. Didn't happen. Too bad. The other thing I wanted to get into before we take a break and do our full reflections, our final reflections, excuse me, is to talk about the one best song performance that I did not get to on Monday, and that's the one from Black Panther Wakanda Forever featuring Rihanna. Rihanna was wonderful. Just like Lady Gaga, it was a from-the-heart performance, from-the-gut performance. It was really outstanding. And it didn't come across as powerfully as it should have on television. And why it didn't was a microphone stand. I'm not kidding. A microphone stand. Why? Because like the Lady Gaga segment, Glenn Weiss, the director, decided in a great way to do close-ups. However, when the close-ups were on Rihanna's face, guess what the mic stand did? It hid Rihanna's mouth. That's right. You could not see Rihanna's mouth being as emotive as it was to people in the theater, even though she was on a platform above the stage, because the mic stand and the microphone on top of the stand blocked her mouth. You could not see her reactions to the song and to the whole environment with the choir on both sides of her. I thought this was really, really really shameful. And I thought it was amateur night. Here's why. If all these best song performances were rehearsed, somebody had to notice watching the cameras. If they were blocking the cameras, oh, the mic stand is blocking Rihanna's mouth. Why don't we lower the mic stand and lower the microphone so that we can see her full face? Or another possibility, have Rihanna hold the microphone and let's show her how to do it without blocking her face and without blocking her mouth. Unfortunately, the result was that this number, which was a powerful number, again, to the people at the theater in Los Angeles, was not as powerful to the people at home because of a mic stand that should have been addressed at rehearsal. This is what you call amateur night. I promise you, this would not happen. If somebody had noticed the day before or 2 days before in rehearsal, this would not have happened. And it really was an affront to Rihanna because Rihanna did a great job. That should have been a highlight for viewers, and it wasn't because of that mic stand. You got to think about this. You really, really do. So unfortunately, that number did not turn out as powerful as it should have been. And as you know by now, that number did not win the best Oscar for best song. It turned out to be the song from the Tollywood song Nanu Nanu from that movie that really got a big boost by YouTube. In a couple of moments, I'll have my final reflections about the Oscars and why it did have bigger viewership than last year and some takeaways that the Oscar people should learn. But first, I want to remind you again that we are back tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, and our guest will be Josh Otten, the Chief Executive Officer of Ronin Media Networks, who is working with Kevin Garnett, the former NBA superstar, and his production company on Veeam TV, a new, very ambitious network that will be available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices in the second quarter of this year, between April and June. And we'll also talk about his network that's currently up and running called Altred. That's altrd.tv. That's already available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. So be sure to be with us on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, tomorrow, St. Paddy's Day. Yes, we are on. We are on live and vivo. 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. And once again, I want to remind you that tomorrow, the women's NCAA basketball tournament will be starting its opening round games, and you can catch them on the ESPN family of networks. And some of the games will also be carried on Westwood One as well. For more details, westwoodsports.com. When we come to ESPN, it's ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPNU, and ESPN Plus, as well as some games on ESPN 4. So check your local listings for what games you can see on the cable system or smart TV sets and devices in your area. And once again, some of those games will also be carried on the Westwood One NCAA radio network. Coming up shortly, my final reflections on Academy Awards 2023. But first, we'll pause near the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com, together reaching over 80 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, catch Sports City Chiefs tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. The folks there will be cooking up a great show for you. Sports City Chiefs, that's tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific only on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best be charged 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back tomorrow. Tomorrow we televised on our special day before St. Paddy's edition on this Thursday afternoon. It is now 55 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Very, very sunny here in New York. We had lots of rain like the last couple of days. It's supposed to be gorgeous today, gorgeous tomorrow, gorgeous all weekend long. And we welcome all of you that tuned us in on this special edition. Again, I'm sorry we don't have a guest today. We will have guests tomorrow and Monday, and so on down the line. So be with us, and we're happy you are along for this ride. And if you still have a question or comment about the world of television or what I'm about to talk about, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Number is good anywhere. Catch us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune. Incidentally, if you saw the Big City Greens hockey special on Tuesday night, I'd like to hear from you. Give us a call. What did you think about that special? What do you think of the live animation? And where do you think it's going to go, this idea of live animated television? live tunes anywhere. How do you think it'll play out? Like to hear from you. So give us a call or put your thoughts in our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televox. On Monday, we rented the show with some early thoughts about the 2023 Academy Awards telecast on ABC Sunday night. Well, now that we have the numbers, at the time we didn't have the viewership numbers, now we do. Even though it was the third lowest rated Oscar telecast in history, the 95th Oscars was better in viewership than last year and the year before. 2 years ago, it was 10 million viewers. Last year with the slap, 16 million viewers. And last Sunday night, 18.7 million viewers, up 12% from a year ago. So here's some final reflections about the Oscars. And first, why they built audience. Comes down for me to two things. First, this was the first Oscars in a decade that was free of political soapboxes. You did not see Jimmy Kimmel. You didn't see presenters. You didn't see attendees use their time to make political statements one way or the other, to turn their appearances into political soapboxes, whether it was TV industry-wise, politics-wise, whatever. And that really was marvelous. A lot of the audience did not think that, gee, this is all over my head. I should be turning this set off. I'm not being entertained. I'm not being engaged in celebrating the art of film or encouraging myself to see a film at their local theater. The other and more important thing that happened on Sunday night, especially with all the winners from Everything Everywhere All at Once, was that to a person, starting with the Best Supporting Actor winner, there was this wonderful, glorious celebration of this country and the fact that here in the United States, despite everything that goes on, it's possible to make it in society. It's possible to try things you would not be able to try elsewhere in the world. It's possible to have a second chance. And from Ki Huynh Kwan's wonderful supporting performance and his wonderful standing ovation and his comments that night, both on camera and then backstage to the press, you got the sense that everyone involved with this movie wanted this movie to empower people and wanted to use the Oscars to say, you know what, America is still an incredible country. The American dream is alive and beautiful and flowing, and we are living it. And we believe others can live it. And we believe you out there can live it. And I still remember a comment by Daniel Kwan, one of the two Daniels directing and writing that film, who won Oscars for both situations, that he said that there is greatness in every person. And all it takes is for them to discover and use that greatness, or for someone else to tap into their greatness and get them to unlock it. These are the kind of empowering and wonderful words that get people moved and touched and inspired beyond belief. And that's why a lot of people who would have turned the set off otherwise didn't. They began to root for Everything Everywhere All at Once, and they were paid off with the film won 7 Oscars. Never mind what you think about the movie. And I know that there are some people out there in social media who are very angry that Jamie Lee Curtis won Best Supporting Actress. They think Stephanie Hsu should have won. Or they were fans of Angela Bassett, who when it was announced that Jamie Lee Curtis won, she didn't applaud. She sounded like or looked like, oh, my God, I'm entitled to win this, and I got taken away. My chance is screwed up. And I'm an Angela Bassett fan. And I thought what she did, by the way, was distasteful. She wasn't, I thought she was condescending on that situation. She didn't take it like a sport. She was not sporting on Sunday night. There were other people who thought that Bassett should have won, and I know that some of the critics were hoping she did. And it was still great. It was great that everybody from that film, including Michelle Yeoh, was so empowering to people. It was really great that, you know, the Michelle Yeoh, who is 60 years incredible, said to women everywhere, you know, You're not past your prime. You are great the way you are. So don't give up that. Keep cooking. Keep generating. Keep being great. It was so wonderful to catch that over and over and over again. And also, as a side note, it was great to see a lot of winners who are comeback artists, comeback people. Brendan Fraser for the Whale. Again, I know a lot of people wanted the guy from Elvis to win. And Brendan was really terrific. He really felt like, you know, I got a second chance at my career. My career was on the downskid, and I got a second chance with this film, and I am so grateful. And that was really wonderful. People were grateful. They didn't take it, oh, yeah, I won, uh-huh. They were grateful to win. Michelle Yeoh was grateful to win. Kim Kwan was grateful to win. Brendan Fraser was grateful to win. The people behind Navalny, the CNN film, the one Best Documentary Feature, they were grateful to win. And on and on and on and on. There was so much wonderful gratefulness present. And it just seeped through the television screen. You couldn't help but be moved. And I really believe that was why the Oscars did the kind of numbers that they did. Now, where do we go from here? We all got some thoughts about that, some takeaways. Here's what I hope the Academy Award organizers will take away from this. Are we ever going to go back to the times when these ceremonies got 30, 40, 50 million people? No, we're not. Because I got news for you. Last of Us did very well, 8.2 million people watching their best Sunday night performance. So you will see more competition. You will see more original shows being done up against the Oscars. That's not going away. And there are things that the Oscars can do to make sure that their viewership can be at least in a range of 15 to 20 million viewers each time, no matter what films are nominated and what people are nominated in different categories. Number one, big one, you have to get somebody in the film industry to host these shows. The time for comedians to host this program is gone. They have TV backgrounds. Jimmy Kimmel was awful, absolutely positively awful in every respect. He should not do another Academy Awards. Here's who should be doing Academy: Denzel Washington, Tyler Perry, Kate Blanchett, Anthony Hopkins. Even someone like Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, Jennifer Lopez, people who are doing movies, who are acting, even Steven Spielberg, people acting or writing or directing movies should be hosting the Oscars. You got to give it gravitas and not be prone to jokes that fly over the heads of people. The inside baseball jokes were all over the place, and they should not be. It's time to cut that out. If you can cut out the political soapboxing, and kudos to the Academy for doing that, you can cut out the inside baseball jokes. You have to keep in mind you are talking to the audience at home, not just the people in the theater. And I think if you had people like Denzel Washington or a Kate Blanchett or Kate Winslet or Leonardo DiCaprio, somebody who is in the film business, not in the TV business or in the comedy business, I think you would have a ceremony that would have a lot more gravitas, would move along quicker, and would be done by 11 o'clock. You can't have these Oscars, by the way, go past 11, 11:30. It's deadly. You start losing audience no matter where you are. Secondly, keep pairing events, keep pairing categories. Keep doing the animated film first to get the family audience going, and then do supporting actor and actress together. Do adapted scripts together. Pair some of these categories. I think you will find if you do that, you will move the show along. I still think that the only technical categories you got to go are cinematography, film editing, and visual effects. The other technical categories, like sound and makeup and hairstyling, give them out earlier. Do a five-minute recap, which includes the acceptance speech. And that will certainly save a lot of time. Same thing with short subject, et cetera, et cetera. And I still think you ought to do specials on the short subject, the documentary feature, the live action short category, where these people can get more of their due than they do on the Oscar telecast. Third, don't do the kind of screw-ups that took place on the 100th anniversary situation with Warner Brothers and with Walt Disney. That was an outrage. It was an outrage to viewers. It was an outrage to film buffs. It was an outrage to Warner Brothers and Walt Disney that the way that was handled. They deserve, each of them deserve 5 minutes, 4 or 5 minute retrospectives of their greatest films. So we can really celebrate the incredible achievement. And you don't get the chance to celebrate 100 years of two film studios at once in the same year. This was a golden opportunity that was blown sky high by the Oscars and both the Academy and the Oscar producers. Also, watch out for the production numbers. These production numbers have got to be done right. That number from Everything Everywhere All at Once was a disaster. It was a screech more than a song. And again, you got to watch where those microphones are. That Rihanna number should have been much better, should have been much more powerful than it was. And if somebody moved that microphone, put that mic stand down so we could see her full face, mouth included, Rihanna would have come over even greater. And finally, something must be done about the In Memoriam performance, the In Memoriam section. It was a, and I'm not talking about the performance or the way it's presented, I'm talking about the content. Far too many top actors were left out, and the brickbats thrown at the Academy for leaving out people like Paul Sorvino or Robert Blake and Tom Sizemore and Topol, who passed away a week or so ago, the Oscar nominee for Fiddler on the Roof. He was neck and neck with Gene Hackman that year for The French Connection. Inexcusable. By the way, the reaction from the Academy to all the social media furor over who was left out, particularly the actors, was so yellow, so generic, it was crazy. Like, oh, we have lots of people to think about, and we go to do this and that. Baloney. Baloney. It was really insensitive, really insensitive. Again, I go back to TCM remembers that every year that Turner Classic Movies year-end tribute to the people who passed away in the film business is so comprehensive and so complete, and it runs 4 to 5 minutes, and nobody complains. Not one complaint. So I would suggest that immediately the Academy, led by Jacqueline Stewart, who is a Turner Classic Movies host, she has a marvelous job on Silent Sunday Night, also other projects for TCM, and she's also the president of the Academy Museum, which she's done a magnificent job with. She should be contacting the TCM Remembers crew and getting them to do the segment next year and for years to come. And I promise you, you will not have any problems again with who's left out. This was the worst in recent years. The worst. It's a shame because I think they finally got into how you could handle both the song that Lenny Kravitz did, which was marvelous, and the actual presentation to the viewer at home. They finally, I think, got the idea down. And sadly, it was how too many actors were left, and heck, another person left out. Really, really awful. And I think the Academy really owes an apology to all of those actors, their families, who found that, oh, we thought we were going to be in there, and it wasn't. Just shameful. That's got to stop. It has to stop. I don't buy for a second, again, that the Academy can't do a 4 to 5 minute segment in memoriam that is tasteful and has all the people that should be honored in that segment. And it can be done in 4 or 5 minutes. Again, I would suggest that they go to YouTube and check out TCM Remembers, all the ones that have been done for the last 5, 6 years. And I promise you, if they take that production team that does that annual tribute and use them on the Oscars, they will never have a problem with In Memoriam again. Never. And the Emmy Award people should also use those folks for their In Memoriam tribute. And I promise you, they'll never have a problem again. They do such a fantastic job. It's comprehensive. It's very well researched. It's very well put together. And it's always moving beyond belief. And I really hope that the Oscars do this. Again, we may never go back to the time when the Oscars had 30, 40, 50 million people around. It's just too much television, too many services, and more of these services doing original programming up against the Oscars. We will never have the kind of, it was only broadcast television where ABC has the Oscars and everybody else plays dead for the night with reruns or some sports. And the Oscars can maintain a solid audience that will work just fine, 15 to 20 million. ABC can live with that. And we, the public, can too. I'd like to hear what you think. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name where you're emailing from. Don't forget, you can use that for our classic trivia question of the week. One more time, let's give you the question. Name the 1985 ABC series starring Jamie Rose as our Norfolk detective. And also use it for our regular feature, A Show to Know. We'll have A Show to Know, by the way, for you on tomorrow's program. Is there a TV series or special that you like, that you feel deserves either current or about to come on, that deserves attention, it's not getting any? Well, let us know. And if we use suggestion on the air, you get the credit. Very simple. So use that email, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Or you can find me on social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. Send me a note. Love to hear from you. And like I said, if you use suggestion on the air, you get the credit. So if you use social media, make sure you include your name and address as well so we can honor you the best way possible. Well, that will do it for this edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Again, good luck to all the teams still playing today and tomorrow in the first round of the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship. March Madness, like I said, is underway. For those of you who came in late, in terms of the early games, Maryland beat West Virginia 67-65. It was a close one. It was nip and tuck all the way. I know my sister and my sister's daughter and family are both cheering Maryland on that they're going to the second round. And Furman, again, this is a team from the Southern Conference, one of the minor college basketball conferences, that was a 13th seed, had not played in the NCAA tournament in 43 years, beat Virginia, fourth seed, 68-67, on a three-point shot with 2.2 seconds to go. And Kevin Harlan called that game. I got to think that the highlight, that three-point highlight is going to be a SportsCenter top 10 and will be on YouTube, if it's not now, probably for the end of the day. Generally before the end of the afternoon, I think before the end of the afternoon, if not end of the night. Remember, tomorrow, here on Tomorrow Be Televised, we will have the Chief Executive Officer of Ronin Media Networks, Josh Otten. He is the person working with Kevin Garnett, the former NBA superstar and production company on Veeam TV. This network looks like it's going to be a big one, and it will be premiering between April and June of this year. We'll also about the network he's currently running with his production company, ALTRD-TV, Altrid.TV, available on smart TV sets and smart devices. And coming up on Monday, March 20th, our lead guest will be the chief executive officer of another service that just started, Rewarded.TV, Krish Arapalli. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up on an episode that you missed, just go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And check out our podcasts. They're available in more places than ever, like RJC or JC, formerly CBS Radio and Intercom. There's Player at player.fm, podvine.com, Podbeat, and also and others as well, iHeartRadio Podcast Network, TuneIn Radio, Spreaker Podcast, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, all over the place. It is a podcast site, by the way, that is not taking our show. Let me know. Email me or send me a social media note. Let me know who to speak with. Drop them a line. Let them know in a nice way, be civilized, that you'd like to hear our show there, and we'll do what we can to get it going. We're still waiting to hear back from Westwood One and Cumulus Media, as well as Audible, about our proposals to come on. And I may have an interesting conversation with another organization that I think could forward our show in some major ways. Keep you posted on that. Also, like I said earlier, use social media. Let's stay in communication. You can catch me at LinkedIn and Twitter at Simon LinkedIn and Facebook, excuse me, LinkedIn and Facebook, Simon Applebaum, and Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. However you communicate, email, social media, we communicate back to you within 24 hours. That's our promise. And we do so because, like we say around here, what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not those of Blog Talk Radio and other series of this program. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Dave Sonnenberg is head of content. Website service provided by On Podium, the internet's new podcast outpost. Guitarist Vegas is our web coordinator. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Thursday, a great start to your St. Patrick's Day if you celebrate it here in New York or all over the U.S. of A. And good luck to all you fans out there rooting for your teams in the NCAA men's and women's basketball tournament. First day of the men's today, first day of the women's tomorrow. And we'll be back tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, with all the info about Veeam TV, NRA exclusive interview, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker and Tuner Radio, and all of your favorite podcast destinations, and our website, tomorrowwillbetelevised.com. That's tomorrowwillbetelevised.com. Whatever you're doing to now and then, of course, please make it safe and make it great. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned, and Aaron Go Brock tomorrow.